the thing about ministry and the thing about ministering is real ministry and authentic ministry. And I don't like to call people fake, and I don't get into those realms of preaching people down. That's just something I don't do. I don't have to call out somebody's fakeness to, or lack of whatever it is. I just don't get into those things because, once again, I pray that they are brethren, and I know a lot what people do and the intent in which they do things is to just pull somebody down. And that's not what we're called to do. The only thing you are called to bury is evil, flesh. And I believe that we are all of the flesh at one time. And unfortunately, some of us still are. And we all got something we're battling, praise God, but we're not submitting to it. And that's the difference. The Bible says that God said, my sheep hear my voice. A stranger, they will not follow. And so the voice of God will extract, if you will, that individual who might have been following a stranger, which we all have. He said, my sheep. And the truth of the matter is we haven't all been God's sheep. We are all created by God, but we didn't all follow God. And I do believe that the voice of God will extract that individual from following those strange things, because that's how powerful the word of God is. Praise God. Hallelujah. The word of God is powerful in its might. I tell you, a conversation you can see God has had various conversations with men and women of God throughout the Bible. And you see that they turn on a dime after conversation. Moses had a conversation with a burning bush, changed the whole trajectory of his life. Gideon has a conversation with the messenger of God, and it changes his whole. He went from hiding to leading. And that's how powerful the word of God is, saints of God. And which leads us today to, I wasn't sure where we were going to teach from today. And there were several things the Holy Spirit was ministering to my heart about to feed God's people. And something that he has been ministering to me about fulfillment. Fulfillment. He's been ministering to me about fulfillment. And thank you, and I praise God for each and every last one of you bearing with me tonight. We're going to teach a little bit tonight, saints of God, on fulfillment. And it is ironically, it's ironic how in life we have oftentimes segregated ourselves, and sometimes ignorantly. And sometimes intentionally, from the very thing that we need the most. We have segregated ourselves, and it is hard to be fulfilled when you are ignorant. And sometimes we're ignorant by intention, and sometimes we're just ignorant because we won't. We won't open ourselves up to the very thing that we are looking for. And ignorance is not bliss. It is not bliss. Some people think it is. Ignorance can become comfortable, but it's not bliss. It can be comfortable to the things, to the flesh, But the Apostle Paul oftentimes said, I will not have you to be ignorant. I won't. But if you're ignorant, you're ignorant on your own accord. And that's what happens. A lot of times we just want to be, and ignorance is nothing more than a lack of knowledge. So when the Word of God tells us to study to show ourselves approved, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He wasn't talking about a specificity of an office. He was talking about the specificity of a believer. Regardless of what title you hold, it is so important to study to show yourself approved. Hallelujah. And the approval is not of man. Hallelujah. Because the Bible reinforces that statement that the Apostle Paul made, by seeking you shall find, knock and it'll be up. And it's twofold. The spirit seeks and the flesh seeks too. Question is, what are we seeking? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so as I was meditating today and letting God be who he is and do what he does, and he began to minister to my heart about, you know, how powerful words are and how powerful our thoughts are and how powerful our spirits are. We were created by him, so we have some ability. Even distant from him, we have some ability. We have some strengths and we have some weaknesses. We have some intelligence and things of that nature without God. Praise God. Hallelujah. But there's no fulfillment. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our words carry power. I would be the first at the head of the line to tell you I've been guilty with not understanding the power of my word and acting out of anger at times and acting out of flesh and how damaging those things are. Even though the intent is not to damage, just frustration can cost you. This is why we're called to be disciples, disciplined ones, because our words have so much power. The right word in the right season can change the trajectory of an individual. Wisdom is so important. This is why God tells us to ask him for wisdom. Wisdom is so important. Wisdom in and of itself doesn't miss. Praise God. Wisdom will produce the desired effect of God, the desired effect. And God's desired effect is his will. Praise God. Thank you for bearing with me. We're going to get into this. And so out of our anger and out of, sometimes we can think we're being strong for God and we can be all the way wrong. Praise God. We can be right in what we're doing and wrong in timing. In doing it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because if I try to force something on you and you are not ready to receive it, I am now violating you. And a lot of people violate people in the spirit, all thinking they're right. And what they're saying might be right, but the timing might be all the way wrong. And so when you force something on somebody and they're not ready to receive it, you begin to violate. You see, Jesus never, he offered, he never forced. God didn't force Jesus to the cross. Jesus went willingly. If it's forced, it's a violation. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when there's violations, there comes great damage. Great residue from that damage. Great residual effects. And a lot of times, you see people living. When you see somebody offending, live offendedly, it's because they've been violated or they violate, because they both have the same effect of being. When you violate, there's a lot of guilt. And when you're violated, there's a lot of guilt, a lot of hurt and pain. So when people say that somebody is winning by oppression or oppressing somebody, they're not winning. Because if they were really free, they wouldn't have to oppress anybody. Ah, man. We're going to learn some things today. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, saints of God, it is this is why patience is a virtue. The Bible says patience. Love long suffers. And I have been guilty of not doing these things. I'm telling you, and people will say, Brother Marcus, you always know what to say, when to say it, how to blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, because there is so much violation that Brother Marcus has committed over the years in ministry. My intent was not to violate. My intent was not for them to hurt. My intent was not to cause pain. My intent was thinking correct, trying to correct or help her. And I just didn't have the wisdom to do it at the time. Hallelujah. Offended people live the most violated lives. When you see people constantly violating individuals, whether it be verbally, physically, morally, it's because they're very violated individuals. And there's levels to those violations. Praise God. Hallelujah. We judge somebody about their promiscuity, but they don't understand the violation, the reason why, and they'll think violating is normal. And that's another thing that the enemy does. He'll make violations normal. And you see that now. The things that violate the very words of God are tragically becoming normal. We are desensitized to how abominable some things are, because we see it so frequently. It's being accepted. Hallelujah. But I can tell you one thing, saints of God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit inside of you will not let offense stay. When you are seeking the Lamb of God, and you are seeking and you are studying to show yourself approved, offense might enter, but it won't stay. You won't stay that way. Hallelujah. Praise God. I was reading in Hebrews today, and the Bible says that we can boldly, I think it's Hebrews 6 or 7, we can boldly come into the holy place through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and we can live through a new and living way. You don't have to live damaged. You don't have to live hurt. You don't have to. This is why every offering you see in the Old Testament, whether it be burnt, wheat, he fulfilled it all. So whatever you need, he's got it. He was the offering. And I know it's tough sometimes being called by God, but God is even calling you to be an offering to the world. He is calling you to be an offering to the world. You know the word remission, it means cancellation. The word remission means cancellation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It means cancellation. And don't think that you earned your cancellation. It was through the offering of Jesus Christ. And we're not going to talk about remission tonight, and we're not going to go into those things, but we're going to talk about fulfillment. And you cannot be free until you let God fill you. Exterminate those and evict those offended places. See, you can't walk with God and not be real. When people tell me they walk with God and they're not real, you're not walking with God. Because God gets real. He loves transparency. This is why he said confession is good is good for your soul. Praise God. You can't live with offense and walk with God. Now, God is merciful. And I say walk with God. You can be saved and offended, but you're going to be stuck too. And you're going to definitely not be receiving what all that God has died for you to have, that he offered himself over that you could have. See, the eternal work is important. We like to clean up the outside to appear. Hallelujah. But until that inside gets some good 401 on it by the Holy Spirit, you just going to be putting lipstick on a pig. I'm just going to get real with you. Until you face that fear, he's going to always punk you. Until you face that lust, it's always going to be your daddy. It's always going to have dominion over you. Till you face these things, you can't have fulfillment. Hallelujah. And I speak of these things because I've lived through these things. Till that fear, until you have fulfillment and really embrace your child of God status, You will always be bullied by these things. And you know, how we do it. We try to stay busy so we won't have to face it. We just sweep it under the rug so we don't have to see it right away, but it's still there. So we just avoid it. And now you can't live free because you don't want to face it. Oh, man. And when you don't give yourself wholly over to the things of God, the only one you're cheating is yourself. You become your own self-saboteur when you don't do these things. Hallelujah. Y'all turn with me to Matthew 8. We're going to get into some things tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 8, and I'm not going to hold you too long tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Fulfillment. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to pray real quick, thank you, God. Father, I thank you tonight, Jesus. We praise you and we appreciate you, Lord God, for your honor, your goodness, God, your mercy, Lord God, your covenant, your love, your patience, Father. Help us to have the patience that you have had with us, that we can have with other people, Father. Help us tonight, Jesus, to clean, Lord God. Allow the Holy Spirit to, Lord God, pull us out of these ditches of self-righteousness, Lord God. Help us tonight to overcome, Lord God, that residue, Lord God, of damage and the damage that has happened in our lives, God. Father, that we don't bleed on those, Lord God. And we don't, Lord God, hurt the ones, Father, you have called us to lead now. God of the heavens, help us tonight, Jesus. God, for you are all about family. God, you, Lord God, you are all about healing. You are all about deliverance, Father. And I bless your name tonight, God. We praise you, Jesus. We appreciate you. Now and forevermore, God. In Jesus' holy and mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, God. I tell you, this weather is schizophrenic. It was just in the 70s today, and now it's got down in the 30s, I tell you. Praise God. God is good. God is good. But y'all turn with me to Matthew 8 and 14. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Offense is a gateway. It's a gateway. As you can see, the first murder, and I'm not going to read from it, but we'll examine Cain and Abel. And there's a lot that goes into that. But we're not going to get into all that tonight. But as you examine the first murder and you see how offense creates death, Cain was offended at that God rejected his sacrifice. It wasn't God's fault. It was Cain's fault. And he was offended. So he killed what he thought, or what he knew that God was approved of. He was approved of Abel. Abel offered the first choice. Cain gave the leftovers. And so his intent was to eliminate his competition. Eliminate. Praise God. And so the psychology behind defense and the psychology and the thought process behind is so corrupted and it's so fleshly. And this is why the mind has to be reset and renewed daily, because we're so sensitive and because we oftentimes submit to the familiar and things that are lower than us. But God has committed himself to giving us a kingdom mindset, because now offense is not my king. Jesus is, who came to eliminate offense. What is your king? Your king is what you submit to. And Cain's thought process was to eliminate, because in my offended mind, in my offended heart, Abel is my enemy, not the enemy that's within, that was within Cain. Oh, man, it is. Sometimes we call people crazy. You know, we use that word, oh, they're just crazy. No, they're just oppressed. They are filled with demonic influence. In a sense, I'm here to tell you, when you attempt to kill and slander and do these things, you are under a demonic influence. It's not from God. When you seek to afflict individuals constantly, you are under a demonic influence. I know, because once again, I lived it. The greatest thing about the Word of God is it differentiates what's God and what's man, what's right and what's wrong. And it's true because it still stands to this day. And it's true. But we can set up all kinds of little asterisks in our minds with the Word of God, excuses and buts and this, that, and the third. But the end of the day, we're not, I'm not going to go before God for what you did. I'm going to go before God for what I did or didn't do. Fulfillment. Fulfillment is the title of this message. Fulfillment. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's get in this word. Let's get in this word. Matthew 8. And we'll go. Eight and 14 is what we're going to get into. Hallelujah. Praise God. 8 and 14. Just to give you a little background, I'm not going to hold you too long, saints of God. Jesus had just proclaimed and just approved of the centurion and his faith. In fact, he said he had not found greater faith in Israel than a centurion who wasn't Jewish. See, just because what our expectations are, what God will be approved of, doesn't always match up. See, God was spirit, and he should worship in spirit and in truth. And the spirit is what drives a human being. The spirit is what drives regions. Spirit is what drives economies and drives government. Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible calls the enemy the prince of this world, but you have not physically, well, some people have, but not physically seen him set up his throne. But his influence is seen and felt through all this world from the beginning of time, from said situation with Cain and Abel. Even God told Cain, he said, look, sin is crouching at your door. He's crouching. Meaning you can't see him, but he's there. And so Jesus commends this centurion's faith because the authority in which he used and the obedience in which the ones that were under his authority. He said, this is faith. Because your word is sent out and it's completed. That's when God's word is sent to your heart and sent to your mind and is completed, that is faith. Faith come by hearing, hearing come by the word of God. He said, there is no greater faith than this. Y'all read it for yourself. I'm not going to go into it. But he said, there's no greater faith in Israel than this. Oh, the word. Oh, words, period. How powerful are they? Hallelujah. Jesus turns around and tells the centurion, what you ask for, what you believe, you got it. Because of your faith. And until we can really establish in our hearts and our minds, and this is the game changer in our lives, saints of God, because we have allowed the kingdom to establish and the king to establish over what had dominion over us before. Drugs have had dominion over us. Sex has had dominion over us. But God said, there's a greater king. I'm the king of kings, and I'm the Lord of lords. Those things aren't bigger than me. Those things were taking you down a path that was killing you. He said, but I come to restore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And those are the big sins we look at. But the truth be told, lion has had dominion over us. Injustices, even in how we handling our kids, how we handling our business, and how we handling things. Those are things God cares about too. How we've handled situations and manipulated them for our benefit. God cares about those too. Hallelujah. Fulfillment, thank you, God. Fulfillment. Praise God. Matthew 8 and 14. And I promise you, I'm not going to hold y'all long. I'm just going to read a few of these. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his mother laid and sick with fever. Jesus is in the house. And Peter's mother is Bertha. If y'all didn't know, God cares about family. He cares about family. He cares about how you handle your family, how you deal with your family. He cares about your family. He cares about us as a family. And he came into Peter's house and he saw his wife's mother laid and sick with fever, his mother-in-law. And he touched her hand and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto us, unto them. Hallelujah. Ministry always has a reciprocity to it. The Bible says, give and it shall be given back unto you. The hustler is always looking to get without giving. This is the hireling. There's a difference between the hireling and the shepherd. And you don't have to be over a flock of God to be a hireling or a shepherd. You can be a business owner. You are a leader. You have influence. You can be a principal. You are a leader. You have influence. You're saved. But just because you're not a flock, so to speak, of God, doesn't mean he has not. If you are anointed, if you are blood-bought, he has blood-bought, he has given you a place of influence. Everybody doesn't have the same capacity, same office, but we have a level of influence. And he has gifted us with a measure of faith. Every man a measure of faith. And he's looking for a return on that. And he touched her. Hallelujah. He touched her. And a touch from Jesus. A touch from Jesus. You do not stay in a bed of affliction with a touch from Jesus. An authentic touch from Jesus. A touch from Jesus will not leave you in a bed of affliction. It will not. And I know people pass, and I know people develop things and this, that, and the third, and God has even reasonings for those things. And I'm not saying God allowed those things or wanted those things to happen, but he used us. He uses them. But I'm here to tell you from a testimony. Testimonial place. You cannot stay in the bed of affliction in a place and have when you have a touch from God. It just won't happen. And she rose and she ministered unto him. Ah, that is a powerful tutorial about the kingdom right there. Hallelujah. And when the even was come, the evening, they brought him many that were possessed with devils. I'm going to read that again. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Now, because we do not have the understanding of how the spirit works and how spirit works, we oftentimes judge the behavior, or we are into behavior modification, but not understanding what's driving individuals is not the behavior, but it's the spirit. And they were possessed. And I'm here to tell you, people can be possessed and not appear possessed. They can be possessed with devils and not appear to be possessed. But the most powerful thing about this right here is that not only they, not just that they brought them, because oftentimes we don't make that introduction. You know, our saying is because we don't want to get involved. You know how we do it. I'll be praying for it. Or I'll just be praying for it. Because sometimes we're too scared to get involved. Sometimes we just, our belief system is not there to get involved. Our faith is not there to get involved. But Jesus was the example of how the kingdom, he is the kingdom, and how it operates. It gets involved and takes dominion. So if you notice what he casted it out by, it wasn't some hocus pocus. It wasn't some sage burning. It wasn't some foolishness of this, that, and the third. He casted them out with his word and healed all the sick with his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are not abstinent from the fight. I heard somebody tell me one time that recently, I've been running into all this, these kind of people and not knowing this individual, only by the Spirit. This individual, said individual, had experienced a lot of the same things that they were running into the individuals that were having these problems. And this individual was healed from it. And I was like, can you not make the connection? Things you overcome, God is going to help you, use you to help overcome the said individual. Not always like that. But they're putting you, God has put you in the path to change directions. Doesn't say how long these people were possessed. I tell, spirits were driving this said this region right here, and I'm not going to get into the geographical correlation here, because we'll be here for a while. But these spirits were driving people, driving this region, and Jesus was driving them right out on the very same thing that he has offered and he has given you. His authority and his word. Now, when you seek his word, it is important to understand that it is just not knowing about God. And it is not just about growing closer to God, but it's also driving out some things that are possessing you. It is driving out some things that are holding on to you. His word drives. His word is powerful. His word is irrevocable. He cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Now watch this. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmity and bare our sickness. God is trying to take it from you. Why are you trying to keep it? A lot of us talk about breakthrough and change, but we're scared of it. Hallelujah. You got a king on your side. You got a king that is within you. He, in turn, makes you, as the Bible tells us, kings and priests. We're holding on to things of yesterday, and I'm guilty, thank you, God. I'm guilty. The ministry is presently in transition, and I know it is. And I know things this time next year will not be the same. But sometimes we get so used to how things were and are, and God is trying to bring you something better. And he wants to take it, but he's not going to violate you to take it, because he knows you're already being violated because of what you're holding on to. But he's offering, hallelujah, to take it and to fulfill God's promise in your life. Hallelujah. See, his word brings fulfillment. Hallelujah. See, people think, well, my name is not in that. That book was written 2,000 years ago, or longer than that, for the OT. That's not relevant. I promise you it is. Because God understands, and his word reads from a pure place, a true place. And truth always stands, and it's always relevant. And it's always, hallelujah, always fulfilling, always delivering. Now until by and by. So the word in your life is looking to be fulfilled. And I'm here to tell you, you might be here today with a fever and an infection. But I promise you that word is going to drive that out. And his that same word not only drives the enemy out, but it drives you to places to drive the enemy out. Hallelujah. When you healed and you hold, you become bold, said to God, because you know what's real. And you know it's powerful than any two-edged sword. You are sharper than any two-edged sword. You know it's the biggest. You know you don't have to bow anymore to those things we don't like to talk about, those hidden violations and those words that have been stored up in our minds from a demonic place, things that have been stored up in our hearts that have been said 30 and 40 years ago that continue to violate and occupy space that God is looking to evict. I'm here to tell you today, God is going to fulfill that promise in your life. Hallelujah. We talk about it's delayed. There is no delay in God. Definitely no deny. What it is God is, hallelujah, trying to take some things from you. And how you believe is how you live. And we put so much power in the offenses. And we put so much power in the violations. I'm not saying they're not real. I'm just saying they don't have to have authority over you. And when you empower them, you authorize them. But they don't have to have authority over you no more. See, I can't control what somebody did, but I can control by the power of the Holy Ghost what stays and what goes. Hallelujah. Jesus knew they were going to kill him. They were going to execute him. The most brutal and horrendous death a man could. And I'll go into why. We'll go into why, and I'm pretty sure you know, but there's some things that we can break down here. Because he was what was poured out on him was from heaven. It wasn't just what man did to him. He had wrath from heaven poured down onto him. Hallelujah. And there is, he said some, everything Jesus said is powerful, but he said that they didn't have power over him unless they was given to him. And his response to the wrath and to the execution was him to rise. That was his response. He did not control what they did to him, but he responded by getting out of that tomb, stripping the enemy of his power and giving power unto us. And I'm here to tell you today, just as Peter's mother-in-law, just as those demon-possessed individuals, and all those sick individuals that we just read about. Because Jesus was present and merciful, and he is just as present as he was then, as now as he was then, is I'm here to challenge you today, saints of God. What's going to be your response? Because you've been bowing to it for too long. You've been bowing to these demonic possessions and demonic influences for too long. I challenge you today. What's your response? Hallelujah. We're going to stop right there, saints of God. We're going to stop right there. I pray the word was a blessing to you. Once again, I'm Brother Marcus from God Ordained Ministries. We're thankful and appreciative and honored to be able to minister to God's people. Praise God. We're going to change the order of the service tonight, and we're going to pray for some people. I know I went a little long tonight, but I tell you, this word was just burning in my spirit. He took our infirmity and bare our sickness. Powerful. He took it. He took it. And he's looking for the kingdom to be fulfilled in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.